But we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 5 in our Bible this morning. And I want to start by letting you know that when I was seeking the direction of the Lord as to what I was going to preach this morning, there was another direction at first I was going to go. But God led me to this passage, and I'm going to explain to you why I feel like God had this put upon my heart here this morning for us to preach from. Again, it was a different direction I was going to go, but I felt like the Lord moved me this way, and so this is what I believe He would have me to preach this morning. But our theme this year for Bible time over there is a camp out theme. And the theme verse that we have set aside for this week is the verse that's found here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Of course, we would all know that during a time of camping out, one of the important things is a source of light. You think about the darkness of being outside, whether it be a flashlight that you bring, or maybe a campfire that you start, a lantern that you've got with you, whatever it is that you have brought as your source of light. And so because we have a camp out theme this year, the verse that we're using as our theme verse, matter of fact, the verse that we're going to encourage our children with tonight, it's the memory verse that they're going to be memorizing in their class times tonight, is found in Matthew chapter 5 here, and it's verse number 16, where the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And God directed me to this passage of Scripture this morning to go along with the theme that we have for Bible time. And the thought of our light shining, we're going to try to encourage our young people to let their light shine in a very dark world. We're going to try to encourage young people today, or excuse me, throughout the course of this week, that if they have never come to the source and the giver of light, that's Jesus we're speaking of, that they would come to Him and that they would draw to the light as He speaks to their heart, and they would come to Him and know Him as their Savior. And then we're going to try to encourage young people this week that when you've come to the light, God desires for us to be a light to somebody else so that we, as we're letting our light shine, can be the source that brings somebody else to the light. And again, we're speaking of Jesus Christ there as being the light that we want to draw people to. And so I wanted to take just a moment here in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 14 through verse number 16 to encourage you with these verses this morning on letting our light shine. Just like we're going to encourage young people to let their light shine, we want to encourage you from this passage of Scripture. And the more I've kind of meditated on this week, I know this is a very familiar verse. Matter of fact, some of you probably could quote this. Some of you might know it from memory. So it's a very familiar verse. But isn't it amazing that you can know a verse and yet God can just continually feed you from that same verse? God can continue to encourage you from that same verse. And that's why we talk about the Bible being a book that is living. It's alive. It speaks to us in a way that is amazing. And so we could read the same passage and find unique things from that same passage over and over again. And so as I've meditated on this passage a little bit this week, I just want to encourage you with some things that the Lord has laid on my heart this week from this little passage of Scripture here, these three verses from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, down through verse number 16. And let's read them one more time. By the way, if we were to begin in verse 13, and we won't, the Bible tells us something else that is very important from our lives. Not only are we to be a light, but we're also to be salt. We're to be a salt in a very sinful world. So we're to be, as Christian salt, that is a purifying agent for this very sinful world that we live in. But then the Bible tells us in verse number 14 that we are to be light. We're to be light in a very dark world. So we're to be salt in a very sinful world. And then we could use the word evil in an evil world. And we're to be light in a world that is full of darkness. And the Bible says in verse number 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And then the Bible says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's a few things I want to share with you from that verse, from verse number 16 today, that will encourage us about letting our light shine. And I trust that God would speak to your heart to help you to understand how important it is in our lives as Christians to let our light shine. First of all, I want to take this verse and I want to emphasize the second word of the verse. That's the first thought that I want to give you this morning. Notice the Bible says this, let your light so shine. The second word there, let your light. Because he uses the word your there, there is someone that he is talking about, right? When we're listening to Jesus speak here. And by the way, in Matthew chapter number 5, this little passage of scripture about the light is nestled within the Sermon on the Mount that we would find in Matthew chapter 5 down through chapter number 7 of the book of Matthew. And so this is the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching here. And part of this Sermon on the Mount is this little passage of scripture about being salt and about being light. And he says, let your light so shine. So there is someone that he is talking about there. And so then it begs the question, who is the light? If Jesus is saying, let your light so shine before men. And then you'll notice he uses that word your two more times in that verse, doesn't he? Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works. There's somebody personally he's talking to here, isn't he? And then they'll be able to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So I think we can understand as we're reading through verse number 16, that he is speaking, the source of light there is a Christian, isn't it? The source of light is a person who has come to a place in their life where they have asked Jesus to save them. And they have then become a light in a dark world. So the Bible says, let your light, let the light of a Christian so shine before men that they may see your good works. Whose good works? The good works of a Christian, which begin to develop in our lives after we ask Jesus to be our Savior. And then it'll glorify, then what does he say? Your Father. If he is our Father, then there is a point in time in our life when he became our Father, right? He became our Heavenly Father the moment we trusted Jesus as our Savior. And so for those in here that may be confused about those terms, what does it mean to trust Jesus as our Savior? There comes a time in our life where we acknowledge the fact that we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. So we get to a place where we acknowledge and admit that we are a sinner. There are times in our lives where we have broken God's law. We've done things or said things or thought things that have displeased God. We've chosen to do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. So there are times in our sin where we're living in rebellion against the Lord. And so we acknowledge the fact that we're sinners. And then we get to a place if we've had a time in our lives where we've asked Jesus to be our Savior, we get to a place where we believe in the work that Jesus has done for us, the finished work of Christ. And what we mean by that is the fact that he loved us so much that he left heaven and he came down here to earth and he lived a life on earth. We talk about his earthly ministry. And by the way, when he was on this earth living his life and he ministered in his earthly ministry, he never once sinned. He never failed. He lived a sinless life. The only human being that's ever stepped on foot this earth that lived a sinless life, because God was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. And he lived a sinless life. And then at the end of his earthly ministry, for that short time of earthly ministry that he had, he died on a cross. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us. That means he showed or he proved or he demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we get to a place where we acknowledge our sin. We get to a place where we believe that Jesus died for us. We get to a place where we call on him to be our Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He then becomes your Father. Think about the end of that verse. That we may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You have an earthly Father, but when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, now you have a heavenly Father when you come to trust Christ as your Savior. And then the Bible tells us you become a light as a Christian in a very dark world, and you are to let your light shine. So who is he talking to here? Who is it that he's describing as a light that's in this world? An individual that's to let their light shine. He's talking about a Christian, isn't he? I had an opportunity to go out visiting yesterday, and we visited for Bible time, and we were leaving flyers on doors, and I had instructed the people that were out with us. Now, if anybody's on the porch or anybody's at the door and you have a chance to talk to them, you could certainly talk to them and be able to invite them to Bible time. And then also one of the things that we always stress when we go out visiting is that if God opens the door for you to be a witness and you to share the gospel, we certainly want to take advantage of every one of those opportunities the Lord gives us. Well, there was a man that was on his porch, and Corey and I were visiting together, and Corey kind of passed on by him, and he went to the next house, and Corey was going to leave a flyer on the next door, and so I stayed there on the porch with the man, and I told him what I was there for, and he said, "You know, I'm just outside on the porch here, and I'm doing some crossword puzzles here." And he said, "Then I'm going to go back inside," and he says, "I'm going to watch some old television shows." He said, "Man, I like watching those old westerns." Is anybody with him on that one? You like those old westerns? Okay. So some hands are up. So he says, "I'm out here doing these crossword puzzles, and then I'm going to go in, and I'm going to have an opportunity to watch some of them old westerns." Well, just like you that are Christians, you understand times in which the Lord begins to speak to your heart, and he says to you, "Hey, you need to be a witness to that individual." And so God, as I'm on that porch there, God begins to deal with me. "Hey, you need to try to talk to this guy about the gospel." And so I gave him the invitation for Bible time, but he was an older man, and so I assumed that probably grandchildren would be the only ones he would know for Bible school. He didn't have any children living in there with him. But I said, "I want to ask you something that's very important." I said, "I want to ask you about your eternal life." And I said, "Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven?" And he looked at me and he said, "Yes, there was a time in my life," he said, "many years ago," he said, "when I was a young person," he said, I received Jesus as my personal Savior. And he said, "I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven." He said, "I've been out of church for a little while," and I tried to encourage him to come and visit. And he said, "But I do know there has been a time where I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven." That's who Jesus is talking to here, isn't he? He's saying, as Christians, we are to be a light in this dark world. As a matter of fact, if we don't believe that and we say, "Well, I don't know if that's the crowd he's addressing, I'm not really certain of that," well, then look back up to verse number 14 and notice what the Bible says. He says this, "Ye are the light of the world." He's directly speaking now to those who have had a time in which they've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that you are the light of the world. Our light identifies us as Christians, doesn't it? When we let our light shine, it identifies us as Christians. It lets the world know there's a time in their life where they've come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm going to read a verse from the book of Philippians. It's found in Philippians chapter 2 and down to verse number 15. The Bible says this. It says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. And now notice the end of this verse, because it's going to be a thought that I'm going to get to in just a moment. It says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Can I say this? As Christians, I would say that we would all agree with what Paul is saying here in the book of Philippians. There are times as Christians where we would acknowledge we're living in the midst of a very crooked and perverse nation. What does the Bible say we are to do in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation? Now, he's speaking to Christians here. He's speaking to those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the teenagers that are sitting in here, for the adults, for those that might even consider yourself a senior citizen here, what are we to do? He says you're to be blameless. He says you're to be harmless as the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now notice this. Among whom, now notice the end of the verse, ye shine as lights in the world. He's saying, yes, you do live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, but you're to be blameless. You're to be harmless. You as the sons of God are to be without rebuke because you shine as lights in a very dark world. Now, here's some good news about this light that we have as Christians. This light that we have as Christians only came about because we had a time in our lives where we were lost in the darkness of our sin, and we came to the one who is the light. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, there's a passage of scripture in the book of John where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And Jesus is there speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. As a matter of fact, we just read a verse from that, or we just quoted a verse from that when we were singing that song, Look and Live. Remember, as Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And a little further down in that passage in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus, remember, came to visit Jesus at night, and he's wondering, how do I have hope of eternity in the kingdom of God? Remember what Jesus said to him? Ye must be born again. You've had a physical birth, but you have to have a spiritual birth. And then Jesus addresses a little bit about how we come to know Jesus as our Savior and how we have that spiritual birth towards the end of John chapter number 3. Now we get to John chapter 3 verse 16. We know that verse, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But a couple verses down from there, the Bible tells us about the condition that we were in before we came to know Jesus as our Savior. Do you realize today, and I think all of us would acknowledge this, and all of us would know that there's a truth in this, that all of us, before we came to know Jesus as our Savior, we were in the darkness of our sin, weren't we? We were lost, without hope, and without Christ. And the Bible says in verse number 18 of John chapter 3, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now notice verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Now why do men love darkness rather than light? Jesus gives the answer, doesn't he? Because their deeds, he says, were evil. Why do men love darkness rather than light? Their deeds are evil. They would rather perform their evil deeds in darkness than being exposed by the light. Darkness is a picture of sin, isn't it? Light is a picture of that salvation that we have and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So he goes on in verse number 20 and he says this, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Hey, if you're a Christian in here today, that's where you used to be, didn't you? You used to be in that situation there in verse number 20 where it say, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the message, but that's what light does. Light exposes sin, doesn't it? Light exposes darkness. That's why Jesus says to us, we're to let our light so shine before men. And then notice verse number 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now remember what Matthew chapter 5 said. It talks about letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works. And here it's talking about the deeds that we perform as a Christian. We're not fearful of them being exposed by the light. They can be made known. And that's what God's saying about our light. Let it so shine that our deeds can be made known. Can I say this about the darkness of those that are in their sin and have never come to know Christ as their Savior? There's a verse in 2 Corinthians that lets us know that the devil would like to keep the lost from the light. The Bible talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4 that the gospel is a glorious light. It talks about the glorious light of the gospel. And then it talks about how the devil would desire that those who are lost would stay in the darkness of their sin. That they would stay in the bondage and the slavery and the captivity of their sin. The devil is hoping that those that are lost in their sin will never come to the glorious light of the gospel. For those that are Christians, can you acknowledge with me that you are thankful for the day when you came to the glorious light of the gospel? And although Satan realizes now that you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that he cannot have your soul, your soul's on your way to heaven, although he would desire that no one would come to the glorious light of the gospel. Although he realizes he has lost your soul, he still wants to take away your influence. And that's what God is saying to us as Christians. Let your light so shine before men. The devil has lost your soul. Let it not be said that he loses your influence for Christ. And so number one, I wanted us to notice that that light that is described there in Matthew chapter number 5 is referring to those who are Christians. But then let's go back to the verse. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. I want us to notice this. In Matthew 5 and verse number 16, it says, let your, we're going to emphasize another word here. Let your light. Let your light. Now we know that light is referring to those that are Christians. But it says, let your light so shine before men. Now in the Bible, we have an answer to this question. But what is light? What is light? The Bible answers it for us in a couple different ways. Number one, I want you to understand that Jesus, during his time on earth, he was the light of the world. The Bible says in John chapter number 8, and I'm going to take the time to turn there so that I can read this verse to you. In John chapter 8, down in verse number 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now listen to the end of the verse. So what is light? Well, Jesus is light. And Jesus says here in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, if we were to apply the thought that's given at the end of John chapter 8 and verse number 12, it would answer that first question that we had again. Who is the light? Well, the light is a Christian. The light is an individual who has followed Christ. And he says, those who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but they'll have the light of life. So what is light? Well, Jesus is light. The Bible says in John chapter 9 and verse number 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus says, as long as I'm here during my earthly ministry, during my earthly time on earth, as long as I'm here, I am the light of the world. So what is light? Well, Jesus is light. But then number two, can I also help you to understand that the Bible also gives us another description of light? The Bible is light, isn't it? The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 105, which by the way is another verse that our children are going to be memorizing. Psalm 119 verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So what is light? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is light. He says, I'm the light of the world. But then what else is light? The Bible says his word is light. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But then we get to the third answer to that question. What is light or who is light? A Christian is light as well. And we go back to what we said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14 where he said, ye are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Can I say this of our influence as a Christian? We're going to answer a question here this morning. What is true of light? What is true of light? If we want to really see what we ought to be as a Christian, what is true of light? I want to give you four things this morning, and I think there's probably more that we could mention, but real quickly as a way of this middle thought here as we're talking about light, what is true of light that really ought to be true of us as Christians? Number one, light dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness. Now remember just a minute ago we talked about that, how that light reveals darkness, and men would love their darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Light dispels darkness. Now, darkness is the absence of light, isn't it? And so the tiniest light can dispel the greatest darkness. So as a Christian, that's why God says, because this world is very dark in its sin, we are to dispel the darkness of the sinfulness of this world by letting our light shine. And can I say this? We're to let our light shine through a clean and a pure life. We're to let our light shine through a clean and a pure life. If we would define darkness as being the evil or the sinfulness of this world, then as Christians, it ought to be said that when our light shines, it's through a life that is clean and it's through a life that is pure. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, I'm going to take a moment to turn there so that I can read this to you. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 8, it tells us how we ought to live as we're letting our light shine. Listen to this verse. You might want to write this one down. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, and read this one later. It says this, For ye were sometimes darkness. Would we acknowledge that to be true? You in your life were at one point in the darkness of your sin. Now, I asked Jesus to be my Savior when I was 6 years old. Those of you who have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you could give an age. You could fill in that blank. I asked Jesus to be my Savior when I was however old you were. But until that time that you asked Jesus to be your Savior, you were living in the darkness of your sin, weren't you? And Paul says here in the book of Ephesians, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So he says you were in the darkness of your sin. But he says to the church of Ephesus there, you've come to know Christ. And now you're living in the light of the Lord. So you used to be in darkness, now you're living in the light of the Lord. And notice what he says to us as Christians. The very end of the verse, verse number 8 says this, walk as children of light. If you say you are of the light, it ought to be reflected in the way that you live. So we're to live a life that is clean, and we're to live a life that is pure. And remember the first truth about light: light dispels darkness. But then number two about light: light gives guidance. Light gives guidance. And isn't that true of light? As a matter of fact, we could go to an Old Testament illustration of that. Remember when Jesus led the children of Israel through the wilderness? How did he do that? He led them through a fiery pillar and a cloudy pillar of light. It gave them the light that they needed. It gave them the guidance and direction that they needed as they made their way through the wilderness. He led them through a cloudy and a fiery pillar of light, directed them, gave them the guidance that they needed. Maybe perhaps you would be outside in the dark, or maybe your power goes out. I know Brother Terry was telling me about how he lost his power on Wednesday and it was off for quite a few hours. Your power goes off in your house. What are you doing? Well, you're not going to stumble around in your house in darkness all night long. You're going to try to find a source of light. Whether that be a kerosene lamp that you have, or whether that be a lantern that you can pull out, or maybe a flashlight. Now we've got the convenience of even having flashlights on our phones now, don't we? So we've got the phone nearby, you can pull out the flashlight, and what does the flashlight do? It gives guidance, doesn't it? You wouldn't just stumble around through darkness, you would allow yourself to be guided by a light. That's what light does. Light gives guidance. I think about even a nightlight. Perhaps you get up in the middle of the night and you've got a nightlight there and you don't have to stumble around in darkness, but maybe that nightlight in the house there guides you and leads you to where you need to go. I think about how my children, they enjoy the nightlight just for the comfort of knowing that it's not completely dark, it's not pitch dark in the house, but they've got that nightlight just for the purpose of giving some comfort, just for the purpose of giving some guidance and direction. Do you realize that that's what the Bible says about God's Word? It's a light that gives us guidance. It shows us what's on the path. Can you imagine going down a path blindly with just nothing but darkness and stumbling around trying to find out where you're going? God says, I've provided a source of light, and that source of light is able to give guidance. But hold on, we're to let our light shine, which means we as Christians ought to give guidance to individuals as well. How do we give guidance? Is it our own guidance, our own wisdom that we rely upon? No, it's the wisdom and guidance we rely upon as we get into God's Word. And he helps us to give guidance and comfort and wisdom to individuals that need it. Can I say a third thing about light? Light not only dispels darkness, it not only gives guidance, but it also warns of danger, doesn't it? Light warns of danger. A warning light is trying to help someone, isn't it? You think about all the different lights that we could use as illustrations of lights that warn from danger that could be ahead. I think about the lights that flash at a railroad crossing. They're warning of the potential of danger. The train may be coming. The railroad may be coming. And so it's warning of danger. We think about a stoplight when it's red. It's letting us know that if you do not stop and you proceed through that light, somebody who has a green light on the other side may be coming through and an accident could be on its way. It's giving us a warning. I think about lighthouses and how lighthouses are used for the source on the water to be able to guide and direct and warn of danger that could take place. We think about the lights that are on a police vehicle or the lights that are on an emergency vehicle that are flashing to kind of warn of danger. Maybe perhaps we would, our minds would draw towards a caution light that would be blinking or a light that would let us know a warning of a hazard that was up ahead. Well, the Bible tells us that we as Christians are to be warnings to others that are around us. We're to warn them of danger that awaits them. You know, the greatest danger that awaits a person is their eternity without Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we're to be lights that warn of danger that's ahead. I want to read a verse of Scripture in the book of Colossians. Paul is writing here to the church of Colossae, and he says in Colossians chapter 1, in verse number 27, he says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you." Now notice what he says, the hope of glory. So he's speaking about Christ. And then notice what Paul says in verse number 28. He says, "Whom we preach." Now hold on there, the verse isn't done. Paul says, "Hey, I'm telling you about Christ." And he said, "Christ isn't just a name that we're mentioning. Christ is a name that we are preaching about." And then notice what he says in the next part of verse number 28. He says, "Warning every man." Why are we using Jesus Christ to warn every man? Because we're letting those that are lost in the darkness of their sin know that, hey, I'm giving you a warning. Unless you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll die and spend an eternity separated from Him in the eternal fires of hell. I'm so thankful in my life as a six-year-old boy for a preacher that got up and gave me a warning. For a preacher that told me, hey, there's an eternity that awaits you without Jesus if you don't come to know Him. And God is saying to let our light so shine before men so that we can thunder out that warning and let people know that there is danger that awaits you unless you come to know Christ as your Savior. So let's give out that warning. You know, sometimes we may say, well, it seems as if the message of warning that I'm giving goes unheeded. Somebody's not listening to it. You maybe perhaps have given somebody a warning, maybe about their eternal life, maybe about a path that you can see that they are on, and you say, it goes unheeded. That doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean we quit. We still thunder out the warning and we let them know, this is the path that God wants you to be on. This is the path that leads to eternal life, and we give out that warning. Why do we give out that warning? Because that's what light does. Light gives out a warning. And light lets people know that there is a danger that awaits them. Some of you perhaps have heard the story of all the warnings that were given to the unsinkable Titanic ship. The warnings that were given, and yet the warnings went unheeded. And what resulted was that ship hitting that iceberg and all of those souls that perished because the warnings were not listened. Let's heed the warning. And then perhaps in our lives as Christians, let's listen to another Christian who may come along our path and give us warnings to tell us things that we need to hear. Maybe things that we don't want to hear. Maybe things that don't always make us feel so comfortable. Maybe they're stepping on our toes a little bit. Kind of like the preaching of God's word does sometimes. Not because it's coming from the preacher's lips, but because it's coming from what God would have us to learn. And let's heed the warnings. Why? Because that's what light does. Light warns of danger and tries to give warnings. But there's another thing about light. Light also gives encouragement. Light gives encouragement. How many of you, and you don't necessarily have to raise your hand, but how many of you are encouraged when you see at Christmas time of year, you see those Christmas lights lit up? Man, you might drive down the road and you see the beauty of the lights as folks have decorated their houses. Just brings an encouragement to you, doesn't it? If you've had a couple days in a row where you haven't seen the sun shine and it's been a little rainy and it's been a little dreary, isn't it encouraging when the sun comes up and it begins to shine? That's what light does. Light gives encouragement. Light cheers. Light can give warmth. Light can give energy. Do you know that's what we're to do as Christians? We're to cheer others. We're to encourage them. We're to be the light that God desires us to be. Let your light so shine before men. But then, can I draw your attention to two more thoughts really quickly in the passage? Notice back to the verse in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. He said, let your light so shine. Who's the light that's shining? It's a Christian. And then he said, let your light, we talked about the sources of light, Jesus and a Christian and the Bible. And then we gave you some truths about light. But then let's notice one more thought here in the passage of Scripture here in verse number 16. It says, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. What's the truth that we want to see in that? Well, that's a commandment that God gives us. Let your light so shine. He doesn't tell us that we're to let our light shine if we feel like we should, or if it's a good day for us to let our light shine. He says, this is a commandment I've given to you. You are to let your light shine. If you look up in verse number 15, he gives them a warning of something that we could as Christians do with our light. Did you notice what he says in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 5? He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. He's saying, hey, I've commanded you to let your light shine. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't hide it. But put it on a candlestick. And when you put it on a candlestick, it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Have you heard the little children's song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Matter of fact, we're going to be singing that every single night this week for the children. I'm hoping it'll encourage them. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. And what do we say? No, I'm going to let it shine. Hey, devil, you're not going to let me hide it under a bushel. The old flesh might want us to hide our light under a bushel. We're not going to let that take place. The old world, which we battle, the influences of the world around us, we're not going to let it cause our light to be put under a bushel, but we're going to let it shine so the world around us can see the light of the gospel and the light of the Savior that we serve. And then we sing another verse. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Oh, it's a commandment that God gives us to let our light shine to those who are lost around us. If we hide our light, our purpose for why God has us on earth will never be fulfilled. God has us on earth to be a witness and to be an influence for Him. Those are the two purposes that God has for those that are Christians. To be a witness for Him and to be an influence. If you hide your light under a bushel or you allow Satan to blow that light out and you're not letting that light shine the way that God would have for you to let your light shine, your purpose will go unfulfilled. Can I say this about us as Christians? We're not to be secret agent Christians working undercover. But instead, we're to say, God, let my light shine before those that are lost. I don't want to hide it under a bushel. Do you realize that the Christianity that you have should be perfectly visible to all that are around you? Let your light so shine. God gives it as a commandment. But then can we finish the verse? And we'll be done with this. He says, let your light, that's the light of a Christian. Whose light? Jesus' light. The Bible's light. The Word of God. Us as Christians, we're lights. And then we were reminded that our light is going to dispel darkness. It's going to give guidance. It's going to warn of danger. It's going to give encouragement. And then it's a commandment that God gives us. But then notice the results. Notice the results. Would you see the results and we'll finish with this? Look at the end of the verse. He says, let your light so shine before men. And then notice what's going to happen when you do it. Let your light so shine. That's a command God gives. And what's going to happen when you let your light so shine? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What's the purpose of our light? So that we can be an influence. We can be an influence in a very dark world, a very sinful world. Instead of the world influencing us, may it be said that we are an influence to the world. Don't allow the world to influence you. You know, as you let your light so shine before men and as you're an influence for Christ, it should be obvious that our light is shining as a Christian. It's something that we should be open about. It's something that is seen without. True, perhaps maybe no one can see what's inside of our heart, but they can see what's inside of our heart as it's reflected on the outside of our lives. So let's let this light shine so that we can be an influence, so that we can have a life that is dedicated to Christ. Notice what the Bible says is going to happen. We'll bring glory to Him. Did you notice the Bible does not say it this way? Notice this. It does not say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. It has nothing to do with glorifying us. It has to do with glorifying God, our Heavenly Father. Let us be an influence. Let's dedicate our lives to the Lord where we're bringing honor and glory to Him as they see our good works and it brings glory to Him. Let's exalt God. We live in a world that dishonors God, but as Christians, let's exalt Him. Let's glorify Him. That word glorify there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 has the idea of praising Him and magnifying Him and drawing attention to Him. How do we bring glory to God? Well, there's many ways that we can do that through our compassion for this lost and dying world, through our conduct, the way that we live, through our consistency, through our confession when we do, confession of sins when we do things that we shouldn't do, through our consecration, giving our lives over to Him and saying, God, use me as you see fit. Through our confidence in Him and in His Word, we bring honor and we bring glory to the Lord. Here's what God's saying. When you've come to the light, you desire to point others to it. That ought to be our desire. I'm going to let my light so shine. I've come to the light, and now I want to point others to the light so that they may see the light. And so let's be encouraged today. This is a command that is given to those who are Christians. We are the light. We're to let our light shine for the purpose of being an influence so that we can be as a dedicated Christian to the Lord, an influence to those that are lost. As we live in a sinful world, as we live in a very dark world, using our light to bring others to the light whom we have found. Father, I pray that in this moment of invitation that we now turn to, that you would speak.